And welcome to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As you may know, I'm Tori, your host from Demimonde Paranormal, which is a private group on Facebook.com that specializes in all things paranormal and supernatural. This includes ghost stories, hauntings, witchcraft, werewolves, vampires, all things supernatural, all things paranormal, you name it, we'll cover it. And as I said before, we are a private group, so this is a safe place for new members to come and learn about something supernatural, or it's somewhere where you can share your experiences and not have to worry about being judged, and you may be able to seek help from within the group. Would be glad to have you if you do decide to join. And to all of my old listeners, welcome back. I know it's been a while since we posted a new episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast, but it's good to be back, and hopefully we will see you again for an all-new episode real soon, probably next week, hopefully. Okay, with that being said, with all that formal stuff out of the way, let's get started on our topics for tonight. Now, tonight is going to be a little bit more freelanced than usual. Tonight's episode is going to be on a range of topics and locations and ghost stories. Some ghost stories have been around for many, many years, and some are a little bit newer. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, as I just wanted to kind of pick through all kinds of hauntings and handpick the ones I felt most interesting or the most famous. So, with that being said, let's get started. And welcome to our first segment of tonight's episode. Tonight, I'm going to take you guys, all you listeners, to Bradley Woods in England. Now, if I have any listeners in England, and you've heard of this story before, don't be, you know, shy to say, hey, I know that story, or I live near this area. Now, the story that I'm going to tell you guys is known as the Black Lady of Bradley Woods. Alright, so to begin the story of the Black Lady of Bradley Woods. Now, just full disclaimer, y'all, a lot of these ghost stories that we're going to be telling you guys tonight are more sad, more than scary. It's actually a more heartbreaking backstory, more than anything else, but still spooky nonetheless. Now, it's said that people who have wandered the trees of Bradley Woods in England, who have spotted the Black Lady, are often left saddened. Her tale is a heartbreaking one. And though there has been details of her tale that have been altered through the years, the same basic premise remains the same. Although her name itself always remains a mystery. Now, this story is set during the War of the Roses, which was between 1455 and 1485. Although there are other versions of this tale that speak of the Barons' Wars all the way back in the 13th century. But nonetheless, the story begins like this. A hard-working woodsman and his beautiful young bride rented a cottage deep in the woods, just outside the village of Bradley in Lincolnshire, England. Theirs was an idyllic life, and it wasn't long before the couple were blessed with a healthy baby boy. But sadly, just as they settled into their contented family routine, tragedy had struck. The doting husband was called out to fight, and having kissed his infant child goodbye, he was forced to leave his wife to look after himself and their child. Months went by without word from the woodsman. So the lady, who was still looking after herself and her child, took to carrying her baby to the edge of the woods to wait for his return. Unbeknownst to her, the enemy had crossed the River Humber and were trekking through the woods when they came across the lone woman. Three horsemen leapt upon her, throwing her to the ground and violently raping her. Having ravished her, they rode away, taking her screaming son with them. At first light, the distraught mother regained consciousness and started searching for her baby. But the child was nowhere to be seen. Sheer loneliness, and not knowing the fate of either her husband or son, eventually drove her to despair, and she died of a broken heart, according to the legend. Not long after, her mournful spirit was spotted drifting through the trees and continues to be spotted to this day. Over the years, her ghostly presence has been used as a means to frighten naughty children into behaving. But there has also been sightings of this ghostly specter by many others. There are no records of her offering any harm to those who have seen her or who have crossed her path. It is said that should you wish to see her for yourself, all you have to do is yell, "Black lady, black lady, lady, I've stolen your baby," and the heartbroken woman would appear. Our next story is an equally famous one, or perhaps an even more famous ghost story. This is the story of the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall. Now, you guys may have seen the infamously famous picture that was taken in Raynham Hall in 1936. But what's her story? It is thought that the Brown Lady is called that because of her so-called chocolate brown colored brocade dress, but she's thought to be the ghost of Lady Dorothy Walpole, who was a beautiful, fun-loving second wife to Charles Turnip Townsend. Despite having 11 children, it was a very unhappy marriage. But let me pause the story for a minute, y'all. Could you imagine having 11 children with a guy you could not stand? My God, this sounds awful. But anyway, back to what we were saying. So it was a very unhappy marriage. And Dorothy loved to spend money on frocks, and Charles was unleashing his violent temper on a whim when he discovered that his wife had an affair with Lord Wharton before their marriage. He locked his wife away, depriving her of any communications with her beloved children. Now, to this day, her death remains somewhat of a mystery. And Officially, it's declared that she died of smallpox, but many claimed that at the time that she had been pushed down the stairs, whilst others whispered that she had been starved to death. In truth, she was more likely that she had died of a broken heart, longing for her babies. And famously enough, either way, shortly after her death, her ghost was spotted drifting along the landing and down the great staircase by servants and visitors alike. Others claim to have seen her standing beneath her portrait in one of the bedrooms. It seems that, on the contrary to her gentle nature in life and death, Dorothy's spirit was cruel and malevolent, resulting in the rapid departure of many members of the staff. Now, it's believed that the no longer beautiful mistress of the house was now a hideous entity who stared out blankly with dark hollow sockets rather than her previous sparkling eyes. Various famous guests, including King George IV, refused to stay in the accursed house ever again, and well-known author Captain Marryat, who fired a gun point-blank into her ghostly face, had terrifying encounters with her. But it wasn't until she was photographed by Captain Provand in Indra Zara that she became a true supernatural celebrity. Today, Raynham Hall continues to be the troubled by the restless spirit of Dorothy, who is maniacally searching for her children. The sound of whispers in the picture gallery and the rustling of silk skirts on the main staircase still startles guests. And also, waiting chairs are known to move by themselves. And before we move on to our next ghost story, I want to take a brief moment and ask you guys how you guys are doing. I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope you guys are enjoying the summer weather. Looking forward to that warmer weather, let me tell you. It's been way too long of a winter. You know, I've been saying this for 2.5 years, as long as we've been doing these podcasts, and I keep saying every episode during the spring and summertime about how much I love to look for little wildflowers and plants and little interesting details along the trail, which I walk almost every day, that's close to my house. It's just amazing to me what you can find if you just look a little bit closer and pay attention to your surroundings. But with that being said, I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope you guys are enjoying this episode so far. It's a real pleasure to be doing it. And with that being said, let's move on. So we've spent our times in England, but now I'm going to take you guys over the pond, so to speak. Right now we're going to move to America, the United States, and we're going to visit a small town of Altoona, Pennsylvania, which actually isn't too far away from where I live. And this story I've known about for years, and I've always thought it was a sad story, but it's also been one of my favorite ghost stories. But if you guys haven't heard of it, you're about to hear it now. This is the story of Anna Baker's wedding dress, or the story of the ghost of Anna Baker. Now, according to the legend, the patriarch of the family, Elias Baker, was a domineering man who ruled his family with an iron fist. So when his daughter, Anna, bought a wedding dress to marry the young man she had fallen in love with, her father refused. And a little backstory about the young man that Anna had fell in love with. Now, this young man was a very poor steel worker, and this was around the year 1836. So if you guys have any knowledge about classes around the 19th century, you'd know that, you know, rich and poor typically did not marry. And if they did, it was sort of a taboo type thing. I mean, it really wasn't something that was done typically. It wasn't something that was going to be approved of. But anyway, back to the story. So when Anna's father had absolutely refused to let Anna marry the love of her life, in retaliation, Anna swore to never marry, and instead she would wear the wedding dress and dance around in her wedding dress alone every night before bed. Now, several claims had said that she slowly lost her mind over the years, until the day that she died. However, today the haunted dress is safely in the Baker Mansion. But the dress itself has seemed to absorb all the heartache and bitterness that was felt, no doubt, by Anna. Also, the house itself is supposedly haunted by multiple members of the Baker family. But it is the ghost of Anna and her wedding dress that is the most active. According to the claims, the dress doesn't just move on its own. It's been seen violently shaking and it rocks back and forth, almost as if it's dancing. And also, strangely enough, the activity spikes around Halloween. It's also said to be known to cause hallucinations and make people see the apparition of a young woman dancing around the mansion. Now, as I said before, if you guys ever find yourself in the small town of Altoona, be sure to stop by the Baker Mansion. However, the fact is that Anna Baker's dress is no longer on display because of preservation concerns, but the opulent rooms and incredible furnishings are enough to get any historical nerd excited. So, if you're ever in Altoona, be sure to check it out, because I never have, but that story has always been something I really enjoyed. Maybe if I'm in Altoona one time, I'll try it to visit. Okay, our next location is in South Wales, and this is known as the Margam Castle in Port Talbot. The Margam Castle is a sprawling castle located in Wales, and is the land it's built on has a grim history that spans over 4,000 years. Can you guys believe that? 4,000 years with tales of death, despair, and even a family curse. Now, the land surrounding Margam Castle is considered to be sacred for thousands of years, with ancient tribes burying their dead in the surrounding hills. After the rise and fall of the Roman Empire in the area, the site became early Christian settlements up until 1147, when Margam Abbey was founded and became home to hundreds of Cistercian monks. With the end of English monasteries in the 16th century, the Mansell family purchased the land, and in 1840, Christopher Rice Mansell Talbot built Margam Castle as an elaborate home using stone and lead taken from the abbey. Reports of hauntings go back centuries, with claims of dark ancient spirits on the property. To this day, visitors report cloaked figures on the ground, apparitions on the staircase, shadowed figures on the upper floor, and they feel a negative presence throughout the property. As well as its hauntings, the castle is said to be cursed, supposedly because Christopher Mansell Talbot used parts of the dismantled abbey to build his home. Local legend says that this curse was brought on by tragedy unto the family and ruined the Talbot line, who all died out. The wealth was squandered, and eventually the castle was put up for auction in 1941. During World War II, the castle was given a new lease of life as lodgings for Allied troops, and there they too experienced a strange ghostly phenomenon while based there. Our next ghost story takes us to London, England, for Berkeley Square. This building is believed to be the oldest unaltered building in London. It has been in the hands of antique book dealers Maggs Brothers since the 1930s, but has once been the private home of Prime Minister George Canning, who claimed to have strange noises and experienced psychic phenomenon. This four-story townhouse dates back to 1827. The ghastly tale to come from the house is that of a young woman who committed suicide there. She jumped from the top floor windows after being abused by her uncle. She's now said to be haunting the house in the form of a brown mist. One former resident of the house, Mr. Myers, decorated the house in preparation for his pending marriage and starting a family, but he was jilted by his fiancée and became a recluse. He spent his time living alone in the attic, slowly going mad, while the rest of the house fell in despair. Others who have spent one night in the house in the attic have since ended up dead. In 1879, a night in the attic drove a maid mad. She died in an asylum the next day. The next night, a curious man took up the challenge to spend a night in the room and went on to become the first person to be recorded dead inside the house. The coroner's verdict was death upon fright. The second reported death at 50 Berkeley Square was a soldier from HMS Penelope in 1887. Several sailors stayed the night. The next morning, one was found dead, having tripped as he tried to run from the house. The other sailor reported seeing an aggressive ghost of Mr. Myers. Our next location takes us to Edinburgh, Scotland, for the Edinburgh Vaults. Now, the Edinburgh Vaults are a network of eerie chambers which are formed in the arches of the South Bridge in Edinburgh. Due to the city's growing population, the 120 rooms or vaults beneath the bridge were put to use to house taverns, workshops for cobblers and other tradesmen in 1788. Now, these vaults were damp with poor air quality, and conditions were even more grim, which resulted in businesses leaving, in which who could blame them. This meant that the dank caverns were overtaken by Edinburgh's poorest citizens, so the homeless and that drove in criminals who carried out activities such as illegal gambling, whiskey distillery, and even body snatching. Eventually, the vaults were filled in and forgotten about. However, they were rediscovered in the 1980s and eventually opened as a tourist attraction. But due to its dim and dark and even depressing past, these vaults are now said to be one of the most haunted places in the UK. Now, people who had visited the vaults report hearing disembodied voices. Now, this includes the sounds of crying children. Also, the mysterious sound of feet shuffling around could be heard from the dark corners of the vaults. And even people have reported being touched. Now, this location has been on Most Haunted in 2008, and one of the members of their team of Most Haunted has been scratched by an unseen force. And to this day, it's still considered one of the team's most violent investigations. And our next location is the last spot that we're going to feature on tonight's episode for anywhere in the UK. Our next location is the Codnor Castle in Cottage Codnor in Derbyshire, England. Now, Codnor Castle, which is nearby Derby, is a medieval castle which sits right on the border between Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire. The castle is now in ruins, however, after it was completely dismantled in 1643, and is surrounded by countryside that has been parkland for hundreds of years. The castle grounds are said to be haunted. The most famous story is that of a soldier of the Knights Templar who was injured in battle and took refuge in the castle overnight. The soldier died during the night, and ever since, his rather aggressive ghost has been seen wearing a full dull metal helmet in the castle grounds outside of the cottage. He has also been seen running through the ruin of the Great Hall. The grounds are also said to be haunted by the spirit known as the Grey Lady, but the name could be linked to the Grey family who occupied the castle for many centuries. It's said that she was heavily pregnant and she was a Frenchwoman who died following an accident while out riding her horse. She has since been seen gliding through the estate, and the echoes of a Frenchwoman singing have been heard. A 16th century farmhouse known as Cadnor Castle Cottage was built on the grounds of Cadnor Castle estate. It has its own history of murder, suicide, and even witchcraft. In the foreboding attic space, there are several unusual markings, which were believed to have been created to ward off evil spirits. The paranormal occurrences at the cottage range from dark shadows to poltergeist activities such as doors slamming, furniture being moved across the rooms, and even glasses which are thrown. There have been countless reports of disembodied voices that includes singing and laughter, the voices of children, and even blood-curdling screams. And our last famous ghost story that we're going to tell you guys tonight is the infamous story of Resurrection Mary. Now, this is one of Chicago's most famous ghost stories. And basically, it has to do with the legend of a young woman who was killed in a hit and run accident while walking home from a ball sometime in the 1920s. And ever since then, the ghost of a young woman in a white gown has been seen by dozens of people along Archer Avenue. Generally, she seems to be walking down the side of the road searching for a ride home, and those kind enough to pick her up are surprised when she vanishes into thin air before reaching her destination. But let's get into some of the truth behind the legend. Let's begin at the very beginning. Now, the story of Resurrection Mary starts at the O. Henry Ballroom in Willow Springs, Illinois. It's said that a young woman named Mary was attending a dance with her boyfriend. Later on that night, the couple got into a heated argument, and Mary decided to walk home. She marched on through the rain down Archer Avenue wearing her white gown, but she never made it home. She was struck and killed by a car between the O. Henry Ballroom and the Resurrection Cemetery. The driver of the vehicle that hit Mary was never identified, It's assumed to be a hit and run, with the driver leaving Mary to die on the side of the road. Now here's where we're going to get into the legend of Resurrection Mary. Since her death in the late 1920s, several people have claimed to see the ghost of the young woman hitchhiking down Archer Avenue. While the stories vary, almost all of them share the same basic characteristics. The woman always appears at night. She is always seen wearing her trademark white gown, and she's always found either on Archer Avenue, at the ballroom, or in the cemetery. According to some, she has been spotted around various dance halls and nightclubs around Chicago's South Side. Now, the story of Resurrection Mary follows the typical version of the vanishing hitchhiker story. She's usually given a ride, only to disappear before reaching her destination. Due to the number of sightings and the credibility of those who claim to see her, Resurrection Mary is said to be one of Chicago's most famous ghosts. One of the first people who have claimed to encounter Resurrection Mary was a man named Jerry Pallas. In 1939, Jerry was at a popular school dance on the south side of Chicago, when he was love struck by a beautiful young blonde woman. He approached her, and the two hit it off right away, and they spent the night dancing away. They even shared a kiss. But something was off. According to Jerry, her hands were as cold as ice. He described her as having cold hands, but a warm heart. When closing time came around, and Jerry offered the woman a ride home, she said she lived on the south side. Still, the woman asked to be taken down to Archer. Now, Jerry was confused. Archer Avenue was on the opposite direction, so why was she asking to go there instead of home? Jerry took the woman down towards Archer anyway. She motioned for Jerry to stop in front of the Resurrection Cemetery. When he stopped the car, she got out and vanished into thin air. Jerry was shaken with disbelief, but not too frightened to seek out answers. Now the next morning, he made his way to the address where Mary said she lived. He knocked on the door and encountered her mother. When Jerry asked about the woman he met the previous night, she informed him that she had been dead for nearly 3 years. It turns out that Jerry had encountered Resurrection Mary, and over the next few decades, several other men had similar experiences. But Jerry's encounter was the one that began the legend. Since then, several people have claimed to have run-ins with Resurrection Mary in the 1970s and the 1980s. One cab driver in the 1970s claimed to see a young woman standing in front of the Resurrection Cemetery one night. He pulled over to check if she needed a ride. As the woman approached the vehicle, she disappeared. There was another encounter with Resurrection Mary that happened in 1979, when a separate cab driver named Ralph claimed to pick up a young female hitchhiker, and he claims that she seemed like she was no more than 21. As the two drove up Archer Avenue, she suddenly jumped down and said, "Here, here." The car came to a sudden stop, and the woman pointed to a small abandoned shack off the left side of the road. Ralph questioned whether this was actually where she wanted to go, but before he got an answer, she disappeared without even opening the door of the cab. His encounter was detailed in a 1979 issue of Suburban Trip magazine. In 1980, Claire Rudnicki and her husband Mark were driving down Archer Avenue toward the Resurrection Cemetery when they spotted a young woman in a white gown slowly walking down the side of the road. It was immediately obvious that she wasn't an ordinary person. She was partially translucent, with a white aura around her. She was almost glowing. Shocked, the pair wondered if they had just seen a ghost. Believing to be the famous Resurrection Mary, they did a U-turn to confirm what they had just seen. When they once again reached the spot where Mary was walking, she was gone. And 9 years later, in 1989, a lady named Janet was out with her friend while enjoying an evening ride. While passing by the Resurrection Cemetery, a young woman wearing a white gown jumped out in front of her car. Janet didn't have enough time to stop and ran into the woman. But something was strange. There was no impact and there was no sound. The woman just disappeared into thin air. When Janet and her friend got out to check out the scene, the woman was never to be found, and there was no damage to the car. Both Janet and her friend saw the woman, yet she vanished without a trace. Now, so many people have seen this ghost, apparently known as Mary. And investigators have been digging through record after record trying to uncover Mary's true identity. They combed through the thousands of graves of the Resurrection Cemetery looking for a connection. But it was once believed that Resurrection Mary was actually a woman named Mary Bogovi, who was struck by a car and killed in 1939. This was later proven to be false, as Bogovi was killed in the downtown Loop District. Today, many agree that a woman named Anna Norkis was actually Resurrection Mary. She was killed in a car accident in 1927 on her way back from a party at the O'Henry Ballroom. And her story seems fairly consistent with the other legends. And that brings us to the conclusion of tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I will see you in the outro. But before I do, I want to mention something. Back in the day, did you guys ever watch these old, terrible horror movies that used to be on FearNet, which was a horror movie channel that was owned by Comcast? And on FearNet, there used to be this movie called Resurrection Mary. And I do believe it was loosely based off of that ghostly legend in Chicago. And it was really quite awful. But I remember being in my early teenage years, and I used to watch FearNet all the time and watch all those terrible movies. And I decided to give Resurrection Mary a go. And that's the first time I've ever really learned about the legend of Resurrection Mary. So you guys let me know if you guys have ever watched any of those old movies that used to go on fearnet.com, because, oh lord, it was just a guilty pleasure, I guess you'd say. But anyway, I will see you guys in the outro. And we're at the end of the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys had a good time with me. And I hope to see you guys next week for an all-new episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori. And don't forget to join Demimonde Paranormal on Facebook.com as well. We're a private paranormal group. We discuss all things supernatural. So don't be shy. Come join us. And I think that brings us to the end. I want to wish you guys a good night. Be careful. Stay safe. Make good choices. Be kind to one another. and I will see you guys again real soon. I think next week, as promised, we will do something to do with haunted rock and roll. I think I'm gonna relay some ghost stories that happened to musicians. So let me know if you guys would like that. But until then, goodbye, good night, and stay spooky.